Welcome to the Odd Jobs podcast. Thank you so much for listening. This week's episode, we have the amazing Kate Checker on. I love Kate with all my heart. And I want to tell you right up top is that Kate, so when you're listening to this, I think the following week, it's on the 11th of February, Kate is doing a whip or a preview of her new show. And it's going to be, so it's in London at the London Hospital Tavern. I think tickets are around £7, but it's a preview of her brand new show. And I saw her first show. I've also done shows with Kate and they're always fantastic and brilliant. So if you enjoy this episode, I highly recommend you get yourself down to that. It'll be a fantastic time. But you can find the ticket link for that in on her Instagram. It's all going to be up there and you have a wonderful time. I hope you enjoy this episode. It is filled with the crazy life that Kate has left just because she wants to, and she does amazing things, and I wish I was as brave and as just go-getter as Kate. She's done amazing things, so I hope you enjoy listening to the episode, and without further ado, here it is.
And so it's
lip gloss a little bit.
Oh,
girls go.
Girls, girl.
What a girls, girl. Girls, girl.
Thank you. And welcome, girls, girl, to the Part of Jobs podcast. Kate Checker.
Hi.
Hello. Yeah, lovely to have you here.
Also,
thank you for having me.
You've come in your signature jumpsuit.
I said this before, really, right? I was like, this, when I think of you, I think of this ski jumpsuit. And I was like, I love that you're wearing it because it's like seeing a character in their costume.
Yeah. Everyone loves it. And everyone's like, you're so easy to find. Yeah, when we're like looking for you in a crowd, it's like, there's Kate.
Yeah.
Winter Kate.
Am I right? Because I feel like you and I have had a conversation about it before, that you got it in like a charity shop.
In Berlin. Yeah. The second lockdown, it was winter. And I was like, the pubs aren't going to be open. We're going to be drinking outside. This bitch ain't getting cold. So then I went across the street to the charity shop and it was €39. And then I just put it on and we were drinking in the streets and I was fine.
Yeah. Wasn't this at the moment that they announced second lockdown? That
Yeah, because it was like the lockdown was coming like the next day. Like, oh my God. Fuck around. They were like, the lockdown is tomorrow. And I literally like called my best friend Letty and was like, we're going to Humana, which is the name of the charity shop. And then I was like, this is the one. I, like,
she's a pragmatic girl.
But like, yeah.
Yeah, that is 100% the one. I can't imagine any others being anything close to that.
Can you believe that on that day you found your signature look without knowing it?
I know, I was just doing it for practical reasons.
People say lockdown wasn't good for anyone. I beg to disagree.
I'm the person that came out top.
Yeah, 100%.
Not those billionaires, but me.
So, welcome to the Odd Jobs podcast,
Kate.
Thank
you.
Thank you so much for being here.
Thank you for having me.
We are here on the podcast to ask you about all the many odd jobs you've had. To get you to where you are. But first, we need to introduce you to the listeners.
Okay.
So you are Kate Checker, comedian and writer.
Yes.
Oh, did you? Okay, right. This is a lot of work. But I found this on your website and I was like, no fucking way. How do I not know about this?
What?
Are you going, her debut unpublished feminist science fiction novel won the Morley.
Well, no, it's not published. That's why you don't know about it.
Morley Prize for Unpublished Writers of Colour in 2021 and was shortlisted for a number of awards, including the Penguin Right Now Prize, Deborah Rogers Foundation, and Mo.
Sucharin.
Thank you, a prize. That's sick.
You have an unpublished science. When I said stand-up and writer, I was like, yeah, because I know you write comedy and I know you're stand-up. I didn't know you were an author.
I wrote a whole novel before
feminist
I did stand-up.
Science fiction.
Yeah.
I did not know this.
Yes.
You're so much cooler than we thought.
Yeah, but no one published it, so that's not very cool.
Yeah, but no, hold on. No. You won award. Also, what fuckers aren't publishing in a book that's won awards before it was published?
I know, it was odd. I had Penguin, so many agents were interested. And the guy at Penguin, because I won this competition, then I had to talk to this editor at Penguin, and he was like, you write so well, you have to have an agent. And then it just didn't happen for me. And I feel like that's quite a lot of life, which is like, I didn't get a writing agent, but he was like, you should have an agent. But I don't know, like, I think I'm just like, either I'm doing it wrong or it's just like not my path. But like, I feel like I like look for these things and then like after a certain amount of rejection, I'm like, well, okay, it's not meant to be.
No, you go with the river flows. So cool. What's mad though is I have a friend who's worked in publishing for a long time and she's now like writing her own books. And I feel like the sort of classic thing is that people get agents to get publishers interested, but you had a publisher interested. So that's why I'm like...
I had a guy who worked at Penguin who just said, you write really well.
Yeah, yeah. But still, I feel like that's more than most people.
That's
huge.
Yeah, I mean, I...
That's shocking that an agent wasn't amazing.
There was one agent who was like, no, this is great, but she wanted me to change it a lot. It was basically a world where all the men were in cages.
I wouldn't expect anything less.
I want to read it now.
In the basement. But she wanted it to like be a bit more like... there needs to be justification. I don't know why, but she wanted me to like really do like a trauma deep dive and be like, you've got to explain the reasons why all the men are in cages. Well, I don't think you actually need to explain any reasons. Yeah. I think you just need to be in the world. I think they should live in cages in the basement. That's great. That's correct. Everyone I've ever said it to, and by everyone I mean people, so women and trans and non-binary people, not men, not cis men.
No.
But they're not really people.
Jury's
still out. But if they're people, but like they're all like, no, that makes complete sense. They should live in cages in the basement. And then I had this agent.
Questioning that. You were immediately like, it's a thing where men sit in cages. I'm like, great, how do we get them there?
Yeah, like how do we get them? How do we lure them into the cages?
How do we set them into the cages?
PlayStation.
Is this fiction or is this like a manual? Is this an explanation of how we
Could this be sort question, of like a Margaret Atwood type shit where it's like predicting the future?
Fingers crossed. Well, no one bloody publishes it, so they won't let it predict the future. It's unbelievable. But then she was like, I can't sell this right now. Because she said it increasingly feels like we're living in a dystopia and people want something that feels lighthearted.
Oh, fuck off. No, I want something that will give... That sounds hopeful.
I want the blueprint.
Men being in cages fills me with hope. Yeah. Makes me look forward to a future. Yeah.
But I tried lots of agents and it just didn't go. And at some point, like, comedy just started taking over my life.
So yeah. Well, actually, speaking of that, you are the winner of the Funny Women Stage Awards.
I did win that, yeah.
And you had a sellout run in 2024 at the Edinburgh Fringe Award.
Yeah.
Nominee for the next up biggest award in comedy, Best Newcomer. And you're also a Chortle Best Newcomer nominee from that year as well, which very, very cool.
And a wildly successful comedian alongside being a great
you think
writer.
It would pay more, but it doesn't. You're like, everyone's like, wow, you're like actually like very, like someone like, I saw an old friend I hadn't seen in a long time in Berlin last week and he was like at the Edinburgh Fringe and one of his friends Googled me and it was like, I came up in The Guardian and she was like, wow, this like woman's actually like quite a big deal. And I was like, yeah, but where's the money?
That's the thing. My friend recently, she was like, because I've been made redundant recently and whatever else, she was like, oh, I'll get this. And I was like, no, I come in. And she was like, no, you're not working. Like she does earn a lot of money. She was like, I've got this. And I was like, no, come on, let me. And she was like, tell you what, pay me back when you do Live at the Apollo. And I was like, you are grossly overestimating how much Live at the Apollo is. Grossly over. Does it pay? TBD. If it does, it's fuck all.
Well, the last person I knew that did it who told me how much it paid was 14 grand for the buyout. I don't know if the buyout's still the same.
I was going to say, if the buyout's... I'd be interested whether that's the full amount or whether that's just... whether they do option them, like that is if they buy it out.
I had 15, so.
Yeah.
Yeah, for like, but that's because it goes to every country, apparently.
Okay. So around then the buyout does happen.
No, so that's like 14 grand. If you end up on the TV, it's 14 grand.
Yeah. But it's not like, firstly, taxes on that, agents cut, da da da. I'm like,
yeah.
It's a nice chunk of change, don't get me wrong.
I don't know.
But her being like, I'm just waiting, she was sort of like, once you have this rolling in it, and I'm like, that's not rolling in it type money. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
It sounds like a great lump sum for one gig, but I'm like...
But then you still have to figure out the rest
annually
of the gigs.
Annually, I'll still be, you know...
But you're still, I mean, we'll reference this at the end of the podcast and the wrap up, but you're working towards your next show.
Yes.
Yeah.
The new next show. Yeah.
So exciting.
Look how happy I am about it. I'm going to Edinburgh probably again. But.
I'll be there.
I'm excited that you'll both be there.
Yeah.
Will you be there?
I'll be there.
You'll be there?
I'll be there.
At the moment, we're working towards getting a flat together, if we can find accommodation together, and there will be a Kate-shaped space for on the sofa.
Perfect.
For you to come and visit, because I know you already have yours sorted.
Yeah.
But just saying.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Also, like, Ruby's like, we're sorting a flat. I'm like, I've done nothing. Ruby is apparently... Ruby's my
agent.
You're
much more organised.
Ruby's literally my agent and my manager. Anyways, this isn't about us. It's about you, Kate.
Okay.
This isn't about all your amazing... accomplishments, all your credits, right? Okay. Your brilliant CV. This is about all the odd jobs you did to get you to where you are today.
Yeah.
All of the hustle, all of the grind.
Yeah.
I want to know. But we're going to start at the very beginning, right?
Okay.
What was the first ever way that you made money? Doesn't have to be a job. Just anything that earned you some cash.
I mean, I'm sure, like, I had that thing was that if I washed the car, maybe my mum would give me like £3.
Pocket money time. Yeah.
I love that you said maybe, because my mum would sometimes do this where you'd do something and then one time you'd get a bit of money, another time maybe you get some sweets, and then most of the time you get nothing. But I would always do it just in case it was the time when I got some money.
Sort of like
you're not asking before you're doing it.
No, because one time I just did it without, like, I like cleaned the car and she went, oh, here's some money. And I
was
like,
so smart.
Amazing. And so then I kept doing it in hopes that she would give me money the next time.
She, like, Pavlov dogged you.
God. Yeah.
Where you think, like, oh, if I do this,
I get money.
Yeah. I imagine that kind of maybe existed, but maybe not. My mum's not a huge capitalist.
Yeah. I also didn't. When people are like, pocket money, I'm like, I feel like vaguely, like, maybe it was a thing, but really, no. I just had to do the jobs around the house. I didn't get fucking paid for it. We genuinely had to do jobs around the house, and it was very serious. And my big feminist thing was that my brothers generally were given, like, outdoor jobs, like, outside, and I had to do indoor. And indoor jobs are so much more and so much harder, right? That's, like, cleaning pots and pans, drying, doing the washing, ironing, like, all that sort of stuff. Whereas my brothers just got to cut the grass, and I live in the countryside of Ireland. We had quite a big garden. We had a ride-on lawnmower. Do you know how much fun?
That's a good time. Yeah.
Everyone loves a ride on lawnmowers. So then
I'm
going to cut the grass. So then it would come to like the weekend. I'd be like, I'm cutting the grass. And I would get my little MP3 player and stick it in and just drive and be like, enjoy ironing, bitches. That was my feminist move.
I love that for you.
So, okay, so your mum would pay for some of the chores.
Possibly, yeah.
Okay, but then maybe what was like a more solid earner?
My first job was the waitress at like a restaurant in town.
Nice.
Like on Saturday, girl. Saturday, Sunday. You do Saturdays and Sundays.
Sorry, you were 13. A Saturday, Sunday girl. I thought the restaurant was called Saturday Girl.
Saturday Girl is a great name for a restaurant. Yeah. But no, and I actually can't remember what it was called. It was something French. It's now called the Fat Fowl, I believe.
Oh, wow.
And before that, it was called something else like
Le Petit Déjeuner,
something like that. I don't know.
Yeah.
But the guy that ran it was, I would say, kind of a weird guy, but I think I was paid like £3 an hour or something, just above.
And did you say you were 13?
And I would have been 13.
Wow.
Yes. Okay. And then I think almost immediately then I started, at 14, I started doing cream teas.
Oh,
I was a cream teas waitress. So that was like my first like job. I always sort of say is my first job.
Cream teas, exactly. I think it's an English tea.
Sorry, I grew up in the West Country. Cream tea is a pot of tea with a scone and cream and jam.
Okay.
Would you have one of those really tall plates? You know, the plates that were stacked on top of
each other? No, it wasn't that fancy. It was like very countryside cream
tea. So it's not afternoon tea?
Yeah, it's like afternoon tea. So it was my job to bake the scones for an hour from 2 till 3. And then from 3 till 6, we're open for cream teas and people can come in and have a scone with cream and jam.
So that's it. They're just having tea.
Yeah.
Jam and scone.
Cup of tea.
Wow.
I want this right now.
It's delicious. And I have to have one every year, like at the same farm. And it was funny because I then did that job and then my boyfriend was son of the farmer.
Oh, if that makes sense. Wait, did you meet him while you were working there?
No, we went to school together. We went to primary school together. Oh, so like we've known each other since we were like 9 or 10.
Son of the farmer sounds like a smut.
I mean, it does.
I'd read that book.
Yeah, but like it was like, I'd be like 14 or 15. I mean, by the time we were going out, I think I was like 15. But his mum was like, she knew me and she just, actually I was sat in the middle of town really hungover, which also tells you how early I started drinking from all the stress of the capitalism of the job.
I was going to say, just West Country, right? Countryside. There's nothing else to be doing.
There's nothing to do. So you're drunk all the time. So I remember being like hungover and I'd been sat in town with my friend Lottie and his mum came up and she was like, I need someone for cream teas next weekend. And then like, that was it. I had this job.
Great.
And she paid, I think, all right, like for the times, maybe like £3.60 or something. So it was like, yeah. And I remember like getting my paychecks with the money inside, like the envelopes with the money. Like that's like the back in the day. And then, yeah, and then I just worked there. And then my boyfriend would like sometimes like make me a mix CD and come and give it to me at work. Or like I'd get off work and then we'd like hang out.
Was it at his house?
Yeah, essentially.
Because it was on the farm.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. And then sometimes I'd like work like and then I'd stay over and I'd go to work again the next day. Like, I don't know. Like, I don't remember a lot of my like childhood and teenage years very well, but like that was my thing.
Well, you were drunk.
Oh, because I was drunk. Yeah. So. But yeah, and then I like weirdly kept doing that job until like into my 20s.
Oh, wow.
Like I would come back from university and do it each summer because it's only open in the summer.
And right. This sounds like a really nice get up.
Yeah, this sounds like a really good situation.
And my pay went up. I wasn't £3.60.
No, and but question, did you, how long did you and the farmer's son go out?
Till I was 18 years old.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
So it worked out.
Because I was I didn't like break up. I mean, it was fine. We also broke up at 18 and you don't have like any resentment there. No. We broke up because he went to university.
I was
going to
say, was
like,
it a uni breakup?
Yeah, yeah. Then it wasn't like, oh, we're done.
Yeah.
It's like we were children and now everyone's going
to
be an adult.
And do you ever go back to your hometown and run into him and think about the one who got away?
It's funny because I started putting him...
Is there a book in this case?
No, because I don't... I think there's a reason why we're not...
Yeah.
I mean, more than anything, he's married to someone else. But like...
that'll do it.
He's really nice and like can handle him a lot better than... God, I make him sound like he's an awful. He's really not. He's perfectly fine. There's a lot of reasons why I didn't marry my first boyfriend.
Yeah.
But it's funny because I've started talking about that in stand-up now because now the fascism's raging, it just feels like I should have become a trad wife and maybe that would have like insulated me a little bit from the...
You could still be doing the cream scones.
Yeah, I could have just
been your cream scone place.
Yeah, I could have just been still, and it's nice. Like I'm still a very good scone maker. Like I can make you a batch of 50 scones very quickly, and like, yeah,
that is a great skill.
We've got a scone and a scone.
Yes,
I'm hearing in your
yes.
So am I right in thinking that in Ireland it's all just scones? Everyone calls them scones.
Really.
I believe that the whole scone thing is almost reversed, where when I hear someone say scone, it sounds really posh to me.
Oh, so when I hear someone say scone, it sounds posh.
This is the thing. Yeah. I assumed that anyone, because people were like, oh yeah, all the posh people did it. And I was like, oh yeah, because they all say scone.
Yeah.
And I'm like, scone sounds very like, scone. Oh yes, I'm going to have a scone and tea. Whereas scone, like, I don't know. Like I think it's just the way we say vowels and art. Like
vowel,
like
they're elongated. Like, yeah, scone. Yeah, got it.
Whereas like we're very. I don't know. I'm sure there's a good linguistic way to explain this. My speech therapist should have. But yeah, to Irish people. She told me Irish people tend to talk quite in their throats and like lower down. Ooh. So like scone would make more sense than scone.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's the reverse here. I sound posh to English people. Yes, me and my scones.
Yeah.
But yeah, I love a scone. Also, there is something like really idyllic, isn't there? Thinking back about like the idea of like, if I did just stay with that one guy and then we'd be in that farm. I feel like we're like reaching that age where like, because of capitalism, fascism, and also just like men.
And I'm exhausted. So you're like, there was that nice man. And I'm exhausted. I wanted kids, like these sorts of things.
Yeah.
But I would have drowned myself. Like I would have put pockets in my, stones in my pockets, like, walked into the river in the back garden. Like I would have been so fucking bored.
Yeah. It's nice to like think about like.
But would I have been bored in the days of now with Tradwife?
This is
because would I just be filming myself and making jokes online? That's what gets me now.
Yeah.
It's like I had this kind of like idyllic life that's very sellable.
Yeah.
Very Instagrammable sort of thing.
What people are talking about with Tradwives is Tradwives are online telling all women to like, don't have a job, just be a home wife, don't have a job, don't earn your own money, and yet they all have a job doing social media content.
For sure.
Only reason you're allowed to do because of feminism. You were there just back. Yeah, yeah.
Madness.
Yeah. But hey, I'd ride the gravy train wherever it went.
Did you do any crazy, or like, did you put your own like little special signature on any of your scones? And how you bake them?
No, I was quite rubbish at it for a while. I was like quite bad at making scones for a while.
Yeah.
And they all came out quite flat.
Oh.
But no, you don't but have no flat I didn't. And no, there was no, it was a good job. I'm trying to think. I sort of did it on and off in patches for so long. But it was like, I did it for a long time with my best friend, Emma. So it would just be, she'd pick me up. She'd drive us there. And and even by that point, we must have been 17, 18 if we were driving. So it would be like, we'd go on a night out. She'd pick me up we started work at 2. She'd pick me up at 5 to 2. The drive is 15 minutes. She'd get us there in 5. We just get there and then be like,
fucking churn it out.
Turn it out. And then it's just like an easy job to do.
Very cushy.
Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah.
Okay. And so when you were younger, what did you want to be? What was like the idea? What was the dream?
I don't, like for job, when I was career. Yeah, when I was a child, I wanted to be an MP. I wanted to be prime minister. I was like, I want to change the world. Like the world is fucked. And I was of the belief back then it was just like people didn't know, I guess, or like I don't know what I thought, but like I was like, oh, if we can just like tell everyone, like, the world could be better, then it'll be fine. And then...
You thought it was a lack of education.
Yes, yeah, maybe. Yeah, yeah,
yeah. You were like, oh, I think we just need to tell. And then they're like, oh, no, they just don't care.
They just don't care. Yeah. Just don't care. And so that's what I wanted. But then it was hard because I actually dropped out of school at 16.
Oh, right.
Yes. So then, so I did cream teas 14, 15, but I dropped out of school at 16 and then I was quite depressed. And then I got a job working in M&S as a checkout girl. Like M&S food.
Yeah, M&S food.
Which actually my boyfriend's mother also had, why is this woman so in charge of my employment? I should put her in charge of my fucking live comedy bookings.
Yeah.
She's very organized. Is
I was going to say, she sounds like a woman about town. She knows all the connections.
Yeah. So she was like, you can't just spend your life in bed. You have to get a job. So she took me to Bath, which is the nearby town.
That's near, okay. This
is the nearest city. I sound like I'm in a Victorian novel. And we went up to Bath.
She took me to the town.
We went on the omnibus. And yes, and we walked around looking for jobs. So like I did like, I went to Tony and Guy, I did like a day trial in Tony and Guy. And they were like, I don't think you care about being a hairdresser. And I sort of was like, no, not really. But like, sort of have to pretend. You're like, maybe I want to be a hairdresser. And then I got a job at M&S.
Nice, M&S food.
Yes.
10 out of 10.
M&S food, yeah.
That was a big thing in Ireland back then. They came to Ireland, I don't think any longer there, maybe they still are, but it was, I remember one came to my town and it was fucking huge and everyone wanted to work there because then you get like a discount on M&S.
Yes,
food.
They give a very good discount. It's
20% off. Yeah.
And then they have this thing called, I don't know if they still do it now, the waste sale. And they sell off all their old food and veg for like no money, basically.
To the staff, right?
To the staff.
Oh, wow.
And so I worked in a new M&S that like just opened. It was like, it was 2008. It's before the recession. We all thought, no, it was 2006.
Oh, yeah.
2006. So everyone was like, we're only getting richer. It's only going to get better.
Boom times.
Open an M&S in the poor town, you know?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And so I was there and it was like, and we had overstocked our food and they sold all vegetables. Everything that wasn't meat and fish was 10p and everything that was meat and fish was 30p. So I saved my mother like an absolute fortune on our weekly shop.
Yeah, bung all that in the freezer.
Yeah.
Literally, there's a legendary Twitter thread on Irish Twitter where it's this guy who worked in M&S food, but again, when he's a teenager. And it's about the wasted sale at Christmas.
Yeah.
And it was basically like the threat. I will try. Maybe we'll try post it off the odd jobs of this podcast. I will send it to you. It is the funniest thing. But he's basically talking about how for like weeks he was like, no, he'd never done the Christmas one. But he was like, it's supposed to be amazing. There's loads of stuff. So the whole family were like, okay, we won't buy anything for Christmas. And the sales on Christmas Eve after close. So like 9 p.m. on Christmas
Eve. Yeah, because then they have to be gone. All
and
the food
this stuff. Thing, he was like so panicked. He was like, all of a sudden now I'm like, oh my God, fuck, if there's no... And his dad apparently like dropped him off and was like, at the very least, get a turkey. Like, and was just like, if there's nothing else, get a turkey. Do what you can. And he thought as well, oh, it's because I'm working the last shift, I'll get to go. And then when it came to close, all the staff who were on or off shift, like anyone who worked there, came. And Sweet was like, fuck. And Sweet was like, right, I know where the turkeys are. I'm just going to have to run or whatever else. And then the like, there was so much stuff left over. And his manager, he was like going to sale. And the manager was like, what are you doing with that? You've nowhere near enough. Here. I was like throwing cauliflower cheeses and fucking Brussels sprouts.
Yeah,
pans
yeah.
And
it's everything wild.
I was so worried for him.
I know. And the Twitter said is, honest to God, he was like, we ate like kings that year.
Yeah, it was like the first time I ever tried lobster was like from them.
Like
it's so insane.
Did you get lobster for 30p then?
I think they were like, I can't give it to you for 30, but we'll give it to you for like 70. And I said, that's too much.
Bargaining them down.
But
bananas.
Yeah. So that was, the M&S. But it was a boring job, really boring.
Yeah,
M&S
yeah.
people
stock
are a bit,
and shelves and stuff.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It's like nice food, but you're just still being in the shop.
And they're also like a bit like intense about customer service. Like M&S are so like...
Yes, they are.
They make you do these weird trainings with like these nut job people. Yeah. Like Americans being like, you got to do the compliment sandwich. I mean, everyone knows about it now, but like back in the day, we didn't know about that in 2006 in Wiltshire.
They were blowing minds.
Yeah, and it's just like these kind of, like there was a lot of like, I don't know. I think these jobs can be like full of like hierarchies of quite annoying people.
Oh yeah, real jobs words.
Yeah.
Okay, I'm going to sound really dumb, but compliment sandwich makes it sound like it's compliment, compliment, compliment.
No,
compliment,
compliment,
bad news, compliment,
compliment.
Oh,
so you sandwich bad news with compliments in order to cushion it.
Yeah.
Oh, I see. Because I thought it was shit sandwich. Because bread is always nice, and so then it was a bad thing.
No, a shit sandwich is just shit all around.
Yeah.
Shit sandwich, which is like shit, and then more shit, and then shit on top. That's a shit sandwich. But a compliment sandwich is where you're like, oh my God, yeah. Kate, I absolutely love your hair. Yes. You look so great. Come here, I just don't know that it's going to work out with the job. But yeah. you've got such an amazing spirit and so much tenacity.
Yes.
So you're just going to want to be successful Perfect. Anywhere you go.
Wow.
Yeah. So, but you had to do it with customers. So if a customer came to you with a complaint.
Yeah.
And they said, like, I found a hair in this. You couldn't say, oh, I'm sorry. Because sorry is a negative. So you had to be like, thank you for bringing this to my attention.
Oh, wow.
I'm sorry I found you found a hair in your thing. I will do my best to sort it out. It was like things like that where you're like, I can't live like this. I have to interact with people like I'm a normal human being.
Yeah.
But I feel like even my mom still would have the view that like obviously that was where I'm sure we all got our first bras. Like that was like the place to go and get bra fitted. But my mom still has quite that vision of like, no, Marks & Spencer's top customer service.
For sure.
I think of our parents' generation, they really expect it.
That's
so
what
I can imagine
Marks
they like.
Marks & Spencer's in business, I think, for so long and a successful brand was like, you have this top notch customer service, you're paying for this premium. Yeah.
Whereas I'm like, I don't go to retail workers and ask them to try and make my day better. Do you know what I mean?
No.
I'm like, I understand you're having a rough time. I've been in your shoes.
I barely see any retail workers at this point. I'm just like, everything's self-checkout.
Yeah, we're just machines. Yeah. God, how the mighty have fallen. So actually, speaking of that, then, is there ever been any like mad co-workers or like you were saying about the hierarchy?
There was just so many like M&S
in any job
attracts
even.
I've got loads. But how do we want to do this? Because I'm still 16 right now.
Right, okay. Yeah. Okay, so we were at
Job
M&S.
Wise.
And then you said you went to, did the cream teas in the summer jobs. So
that was like a summer
job.
Go
to university?
And then I would go to university. But, so I went back to school. But after M&S, then I went to Tanzania to see my dad. And I had never been to Tanzania like as an adult alone.
Right.
And then I went there and then I came back.
How long were you in Tanzania for?
6 weeks.
Wow.
I was 17. And then I like came back and I was like, I'm going to go back to school.
Great.
I was like, I need to go back to school. And that, well, mainly I was like, I need to live in London. I had this realization that was like, I just need to not live in bumfuck nowhere, Wiltshire.
Yeah.
And the way I convinced my mum to let me go back to London was to say I would go back to do my A-levels because I didn't have any A-levels at this point. So then I was a bit of like a mess, you know, because I was like, when you leave school with no A-levels and no nothing and you come from like a relatively like middle-class social group, everyone's a bit like, bah!
Yeah.
She's lost her whole life. What's she going to do?
Yeah.
And I think especially being like the only black one, everyone's a bit like, wow, what are her chances? And you're like, it's going to be fine.
Yeah.
But they didn't believe it. So then I said that. And then I was doing odd jobs for a while because I tried to go back to M&S and then I went back to the one in Bath and that didn't work out. And I was like, I just don't want to work for M&S anymore. And then I worked in a box factory making cardboard boxes.
Oh my God.
And that was one of my favorite jobs.
Yeah,
actually.
Tell me about it.
So we just made boxes. So they arrived flat and we put them together as boxes.
So you were assembling them?
Yes, assembling. Yeah.
What size boxes?
Yeah.
Small ones actually, like this size, like post size.
Yeah, post box.
Because it was for this guy that sold this is like he was one of the pioneers in the field. He sold collagen tablets.
That is
early doors. This is 2007. Collagen tablets on QVC, on like the shopping channel.
Which is basically what TikTok shop is now.
Yes. Oh, and it was our job. And but the beauty of this job was you could show up whenever you wanted. Like there was no fixed hours. So you just signed in and they would pay you £5.75 for all the hours you were there.
Oh, wow.
So you would just go and make cardboard boxes for as long as you wanted to that day, and then they would just pay you.
That's mad.
Great.
That it was just free
reign.
And then
you had no gloves, so you didn't get paper cuts.
My brain, immediately when you talked about the box factory, I was just thinking about releasing a bunch of cats into it and just seeing where they go sit.
Oh.
They go sit in the boxes.
They could sit in the different boxes.
I was thinking that you're like on a conveyor belt, like cutting cardboard into like the sizes or whatever.
No. It's just folding.
It was just the folding. So you just basically sat
like
at a table.
It was like a box of them all flat.
It was like
you were
me,
assembling them.
My mate Flo, who also was like a little bit unemployed and maybe not at school as well. And then like a bunch of old women.
Nice.
Like a bunch of women who like either were like single or their husbands had like passed away. Or like, I guess there were like women who their man earns all the money, but they don't get any money. So it was like, this way I can have some pocket money.
Yeah. So especially with such a loose, I'm entering like genuinely like, was the place open from 10 till 6 and you could come whenever you wanted within that time?
Okay.
Yeah.
Oh, wow. And you could just work. So would you just be like, right, I'll do a full day that day. Then I'll have a load
of cash. Yeah, I'd be like, I want some money. And then I just go and like rack up that. And I love a freedom job.
Yeah.
Which is why I'm a freelancer.
Autonomy.
The freedom element of it. And also I get that like it's not exactly the most the biggest strain on your brain or like that.
Yeah.
But something like just a mind-numbing, repetitive
job.
Yeah, and
you're just like listening
so
to the radio and you're like,
satisfying.
Yeah.
Doesn't earn you a lot.
And
but
also
it'd be
something
so
that you can
fun.
Be like, I made $90 yeah. today. Like there's, it's. I think there's something so satisfying to have like a physical representation of the yeah. work that you've done. It's quite like, yeah. Also a job that you literally, it's my favorite thing. It's why I used to quite like nannying. It was that you turn up, you're working while you're there, and the minute you leave, there's nothing bringing. There's no like.
There's nothing
work
to do.
Drama.
Yeah.
There's no gossip going on. There's no emails hitting your inbox. Yeah. There's no even like even when you work in a restaurant, like yeah, like beef or shift changing or something like that. Like I would just turn up, mind kids, and the parents are home. You're like, I'm done. Yeah. Let me go. No beef, no drama, no fuss, no muss.
But was there any like? Was there? Did you have a favorite coworker amongst the ladies?
Yeah, but I can't tell you what her name was now. But she used to smile and stick her tongue out while she smiled, like. And I just remember her doing that.
And what like age this. Was she?
Like, I don't know, 78. Old.
She's just joyful.
Yeah.
She's just joyful.
Just an older woman who's stuck giving a fuck. Yeah. I like that. Nice. Yeah. And so then Box Factory, then so you finish your A-levels, you go to uni.
Then I go to London to do my A-levels.
Nice.
So they move to
you
London.
Do your A-levels in London?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, I got you.
At like FE College. That was like a thing back in the day. I don't even know if this stuff exists now.
I have no clue.
I don't even think the kids are allowed to leave. Yeah, I don't think kids are allowed to leave the school now.
They're not allowed. Yeah, they have to go on till 18.
That would have killed me. But okay.
They have to go to 18. I thought you could do like... Not school stuff in England, like apprenticeships are like...
No, yeah, but you have to stay in education till...
In some kind of education.
Oh,
you
really?
Can't just be like, goodbye.
So apprenticeships count as education.
Yeah. You can't just do your GCSEs and then... Oh, an apprenticeship counts as education.
Yeah, but
you can't just get a job. Okay. Whereas in my day, you could sort of leave at 16 and get a job.
Yeah, that's still the case for my year, that you could finish at 16 if you wanted to.
Yeah.
Okay, right.
Yeah, and then when I was doing my A-levels, I mean, first of all, I was on EMA.
What's that?
Education Maintenance Allowance. So this is like a thing the Labour government brought in. So we all got £30 a week.
Oh, nice.
For being in school. So then I went back to school. And then I got like a lot of weird grants and I did like a lot of those. I did like clinical trials.
Oh my God, like
my
medical
college
trials.
Was next. Yes, but nothing intense. My college was next to a dental. It was on Gray's Inn Road. Next to a dental college, a dental hospital.
Oh, right.
So I did these like studies where you didn't like brush your teeth for 2 weeks. And then just use their mouthwash. And then they would give you like £200. So I would like do weird things like that. I've always done like weird things where I'm like, I can brush my teeth and I can not brush my teeth.
I've honestly considered some of those medical trials. Because some of them are pretty tame. Some of them are pretty light.
Some of them are fine. I don't know if I do a medical trial now.
Yeah. I don't know. I've been made redundant. We'll see. I'm game. Fuck it. Why not?
Infamously, I'm not sure which one. John Tothill did a medical trial to pay for Edinburgh.
He gave him
and then got malaria.
Got malaria.
Right.
No, but I think did the trial knowing it would. But that one was like, I think that one was like $5,000 or $6,000. Like that was a pricey because they were like, we're going to give you malaria.
Appendix explode. Like
that was the following year.
Okay, well, it feels connected to me.
That was during the Fringe, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Yes. I thought the medical trial was afterwards.
I have a feeling that it's one after each other.
I think it's separate years.
I don't think
years.
The appendix was related to the...
malaria.
Malaria. But yeah, the trial was that they like gave you, I think, malaria and then... like to or a vaccine or something and then saw whether it basically worked.
I don't love comedy enough to get malaria for it, personally.
But also, hey, if you don't have a show... Give yourself malaria
and you'll have a show. It's true.
You got a show. Because I'm like, that is what John did. I'm like, he both got the money to do the show and the content. So
was the show about him having malaria?
Wasn't it?
I think he had a show already. I don't know John very well, so I'm really not the right person to speak.
I saw
on
his debut show, which was not about that. But that was his second show.
I think the debut show is about... I don't think either show is about malaria.
Oh.
The second show is about the appendix.
Yeah. Oh, maybe I've heard that and then got it all mixed up.
Anyway, it's confusing.
Anyways, whatever. John Tottle, great comic. Not who we're here to talk about. So you're doing these like dentist things.
And then I did three, and then the next, and my mum, I don't know if she's supposed to admit this. To get through in life, you have to do a bit of benefit fraud. If you don't come from wealth. It's so funny, people are so weirdly moral in this country, like the lower middle classes especially. They're like, I must be by the rules. And I'm like, that's the stupidest thing I've ever heard. Like, do you know how much everyone else at the top
is scamming? Everything is stacked in everyone else's odds.
Yes.
So you sometimes
got you're allowed
to cook
to.
The books.
So I
agree. Basically, I haven't done anything myself, honestly, in this country.
So
if in this any, country, I'm all
I
want
to ask, this is a joke, but I'm a comedian. But like, I think my mum, I mean, I was still coming home a lot because my boyfriend was still at home.
Right, yes.
The boyfriend. Mm. And I was getting my driving lessons. So I'd come home a lot and then my mum would pretend I was still at home and then she still got child tax credits.
Oh, yeah.
And then she could use that to pay for my rent.
That's fucking harmless. Yeah.
I'm
like, shit like that. I'm like, absolutely. Yes. Also, people who are genuinely, and I'll go off on a rant, but people who are like, benefits fraud. I'm like, cool. The minute we get one corporation to get all the tax that they're avoiding by putting it into all these offshore accounts and stuff, and all the grants that the government are giving them, which is benefits. Yes. So all these fucking millionaires get benefits to set up own companies, and they don't fulfill. So part of it will be like a property management who's like, hey, if you give us this grant, we're going to build a certain amount of social housing. And then they'll be like, oh, we actually couldn't build that social housing because the market's changed, so now we don't have enough money, so we can't do that. Sorry. And there's no fuss, no muss about them doing that, and it's millions of pounds. Yeah. So I'm like, absolutely, you get fucked about Kate's mom having child benefit.
I think I was there for
once we clean up all the corporate fucking fraud, then I'm all absolutely, let's hit the benefits.
But also, there's such a thing.
But until we do the corporate fraud first,
that there are loads of unclaimed like unemployment benefits.
Yeah, I've been unemployed multiple times in this country in the 10 plus years or roughly I've lived here.
Yeah.
And this is the first time I've ever made a claim. And it's more because it is such a horrible system.
Yes.
It is designed to make it very difficult to engage with. That
yes,
I have genuinely before been like, well, I'll find something in a month or two, so I'll just stretch myself and figure it out. Whereas this time,
it's
because
a real
I was formally
nightmare
made
system.
Redundant and I was trying to figure out how to deal with the redundancy.
So I then had to do two more. I did two A-levels in a year and did quite well. My teacher was like, got two A's and they were like, you need to go to fancy university, not some other university. And I was like, okay, I'll try for that. And then I need to do two more A-levels to get enough. Hmm. And then the government wouldn't pay for it because at the time the government would only pay for two A-levels. So each A-level is like £600-£700.
Okay.
And I didn't have a grand and a half.
Yeah.
So then I had to sign on to Job Seekers to get them down to £60 each, a reasonable amount. And they're very funny about you signing on to Job Seekers when you're not trying to get a job.
Yeah.
So I was like signing on to Job Seekers and I was like, well, they were like, do you want to be this manager of this laundrette? And I was like, no, thank you. I'm trying to go to Oxbridge. And they were like, that's not what this is allowed to do for that. And it was like weird how much this benefit system is like actively trying to like not help people.
But why would there be a discount for getting A-levels if you're signing up to Job Seekers?
If you're on Job Seekers, you can have a discount because it's like maybe you need more retraining to be in the job market. Mm. Is there logic?
Yeah. It's and also I'm like, why are we not funding young people to get education so they can go to university? Like, surely that's a good investment.
That's when I tried to sign on in Wiltshire, and then I went to Brixton where I was living in London, signed on there, and they were like normal about it. They were like, of course you can have your money.
Yeah, of course you
can just apply. And then I was on Job Seekers for like a few weeks, and then I came off because I just
because
did
you
it.
Just needed the discount.
I just needed it. My A-levels to be paid for. And then I worked three jobs to put myself through the final year of my A-levels. So I worked waitressing again at the weekends in a cafe restaurant in Brixton, which is sort of still there, but it's now just named after one of the couple that's there, and I wonder if they've like divorced.
Ooh, sounds like it. Sounds like someone literally got
they were
the
quite a highly strung couple, but anyway, that's none of my business. and then I did stuff for my college, so I'd do like event days showing people around my college.
Nice.
Yeah. Open days. And then I worked in a nightclub in Soho.
Ooh.
And I was the cloakroom girl of this nightclub in Soho.
Talk to me about that, because I feel like tales.
There is so many tales. So it's so funny because this job has also been done, like, so this is the longest running nightclub in club night in London. It's every Thursday. It's been going for 40 years. It's called Gaz's Rockin' Blues. It's on Wardour Street. Tracy Emin was a cloakroom girl.
Wow.
The person I gave the job to afterwards is Grace Wales Bonner, who's obviously like a very famous designer now.
Right.
Who, like, I think Meghan Markle wore like one of her designs for introducing the baby to the world or whatever. She's just become creative director of Hermes. So like do this job and then end up out in the world doing quite interesting things.
That's wild.
Yes. And then I was like 19 and my job was just to check the coats.
And how did that come about? Just like a pie or here even somewhere? Because it sounds like a job that is such a like...
I didn't know.
Feeder would
That's
be
so
like...
so mad to say.
Almost gate kept.
So I think when the first year I was doing my A-levels, I went back a lot to the countryside and I just still had my friends. And then by that point, all my friends had like done their gap years, gone to uni. So then I didn't have my friends anymore. And I didn't have any friends in London and I didn't know... I'd been to the nightclub. And what I used to do, which is insane, I don't know if this is like an absolutely mad thing to say, and I don't know if I've ever said it out loud, but I'd use like, if I had some MDMA left over from like some time of having MDMA, I would take a bomb of MDMA, get on the underground, go to Soho. By the time I'm in Soho, I'm like coming up and I'm feeling very confident. I never had any money back in these days. I was like so poor. Because I lived in this basement and with this Irish lady who smoked a lot of weed. And I get there, and then by the time I got to the club, I was like coming up. So I had like a lot of confidence. And so I'd go into the club before it opened so that I wouldn't have to pay the entry fee. And then I would sit there. And because I would sit there and there were like lots of people around as they were setting up, someone at some point just assumed I knew someone.
Yeah.
And I didn't know anyone. And at some point I'd just been coming for so long and I just kept going to this club night by myself.
And it was just this one club that you went
to? On Thursdays. Oh, yeah. My God. And I guess I liked hang out there and I'd sit and chat to the cloakroom girl. And at some point she was like, I don't want to do this. Do you want the job? And then I just got the job. Isn't that so mad? Now amazing. I've said that out loud. That's like intense.
That's bananas.
But it's, you know, it's about putting yourself in the right place at the right time.
Yeah.
On drugs, yeah.
On drugs. And repetitively.
And repetitively, yeah.
That's so mad.
It's so mad.
Wow. But also, like, worked out. So you did, how long were you doing that cloakroom job?
For a year until I went to university. Yeah.
And are there any like specific sort of like story, like mad stories?
So many. Yeah, like so many.
Was there any celebs and stuff coming in there?
Yes. Makita Oliver from T4 used to come in a lot. And I wasn't there when this happened, but Natalie Portman and Scarlett Johansson came once when they were shooting their film.
What film are they in?
The Bolin Girls.
Oh, the Bolin. Oh, whoa.
Because they were shooting it in the UK.
Oh, nice.
There were lots of people. I actually got, it was the first time I ever did a line of coke was in that club, and it was from Keith Allen.
Wow, what a line. Literally. What a thing to say.
Yeah.
Keith Allen, handed out coke, fair play. Mm.
Which by all accounts is very standard.
Yeah.
So there were like celebrities would come down, but I can't, Simon Amstel used to come sometimes.
Oh, wow.
I'm trying to think who else. I think at like some point you sort of like learn to blur it out.
Yeah.
And also I was obviously drunk a lot of the time. Yeah. Actually, it was my job. My job seemed to involve drinking a lot of white wine.
Yeah.
But I also used to do, I did my like A-level revision there. Like I revised for all my exams. I'd like bring all my textbooks down and sit in the cloakroom and like go through them.
When people would hand you their coats, how would you resist the urge not to like try them on or go through their coats?
Yeah,
like,
rifle nice in the coats. Pockets.
I don't know, but I don't think I did.
Yeah. You just didn't think so.
Because I was getting loads of free wine. Oh, yeah. So
you didn't need.
What else did I need? Yeah.
It sounds great.
Yeah.
So you did that until you went to university. So yes. You got your two A-levels then.
And then I got my second two A-levels and then I, went to university.
I mean, where did you go to uni?
Cambridge.
So it all worked out.
All worked out. Sometimes you got to just be on drugs and do a bit of benefit fraud. And then it'll work out.
And next thing you know, you become a very respectable student.
And you're at Cambridge. Yeah.
Yeah.
And Cambridge are very strict. You're not allowed to work when you're at Cambridge.
Yeah, I'm aware of this because they're like, it's too academically demanding.
And they are correct. It's too exhausting to have a job as well. But yeah, so then I just didn't have a job, except for in the summers when I do cream cheese, I guess.
When you go do some more cream cheese.
Oh my God. And what did you study at Cambridge?
Politics, psychology, sociology.
Exactly. So you wanted to be an MP.
Yeah. I was like back on track, I guess.
Oh, look, we took a little detour.
God, I keep falling off the fucking wagon.
Did a couple of lines of coke.
Yeah.
Got ourselves to Cambridge.
Yeah.
And did going to Cambridge and studying politics make you want to be an MP or not?
No, it made me hate the people that were going to go and do that.
Yeah.
Thing.
Yeah.
I hated it, actually.
Yeah. Because you met the actual... Like,
I met some of the worst people you're ever going to meet.
And you're like, you're going to run the country someday.
Yeah. And also I was like, I was 21. I was a bit older than everyone.
Oh, yeah.
I'd lived alone in London. Like, I then had a new boyfriend. I had like 1 year gap between like my A-levels and going to Cambridge. Where I just sort of lived with my boyfriend Ralph in this like council flat in Whitechapel. And then I'd sort of been independent and everyone else had come straight from like a boarding school and didn't know what the hell was going on.
Yeah, but acted like they owned the place. Yeah. I can imagine. Oh my gosh.
So on your website, it says that you've studied in 4 countries.
Yes, that's my master's.
So what other countries have you studied in?
Germany, Argentina and India.
Whoa, hold on. What? God, we're not going to have time.
Okay, I'm sorry. What do you want?
Quickly run us through what you were doing in Germany, India.
Okay, so Do you want the jobs between university and Berlin?
Yeah, let's pack them off and we'll
stop. Okay, we'll just go. Okay.
Yeah, come on.
So then I left university and I got a job in a pub. I was like, I just needed like to be back to normal. And my plan was to sell. My plan was to import beer from Tanzania and sell it in the UK and market it as fair trade beer, because that was the time of like...
Yes, big on fair trade.
Vibe. Do you know what I mean? We're all becoming ethical business people. That's 2013. And so they tried that for a year. That didn't really work. But I worked in this pub in Liverpool Street, actually. And I actually really enjoyed that job. It was quite a fun job.
Yeah.
I liked it. It was a pub that was only open because it's Liverpool Street. It's only open when the bankers are around. So it was shut on Sundays.
And it's never
open past midnight because they all fuck off home at like 9:30, 10
p.m. Last train.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So that was a very good job. So they did that. But I had two, actually, in hindsight, incredibly misogynistic bosses that used to play this game where they try and throw a penny into my cleavage. But I, at the time, didn't mind.
I know. This is it. You sometimes look back and you're like, oh.
Oh, no.
If I could see that young girl dealing with that, I'd be like, no, babes. But at the time, you're like, ha, ha, ha. This seems like fun.
Yes. And I then I worked selling beer to pubs. So I worked for a brewery.
Oh, like a brewery.
Yeah, and I went around pubs and I sold beer to pubs. But then my boss there had already been in prison for 12 years for being a cocaine smuggler. This follows me around.
Wow.
Employment. Yes. And he'd like been a cocaine smuggler.
Where was he smuggling it from?
I don't know, but often he had like a little plane and he'd fly it into the country from like an island in Spain, I think.
Right.
Wait, he had a little plane or like a little drone?
A little plane. Like he was in the plane.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. This is before drone time. So he'd like fly into the country and then he'd gone to prison for 12 years. Then he decided to open a brewery. I don't know. I was selling beer to pubs. Then it all sort of came to light that he wasn't paying his taxes.
Mm. Classic.
And so then that got leaked, like, or like it became a front page news for like London Standard, the Standard.
Yeah.
Evening Standard.
Yeah.
I'm trying to think what that newspaper's called. Evening Standard. So then that was very dramatic. And then I like started to have a breakdown and was like, I have to leave. It was really, really hard to sell a
the beer.
No
yeah, yeah. When everyone's like, this is.
And also the reason why my student loans are fucked, because he never paid any of our taxes during that time.
Oh my God. I had a similar experience of fraud being committed against me. By a guy who owned two comedy clubs and I worked for.
I think you know what I'm referring to.
There's also an article written about it in The Londoner. Look it up.
Yeah, I got after that article came out, I said, you still haven't paid me. And then he finally paid me back.
Oh, did he?
Yes.
Gosh, and that's
incredible. Finally paid me back. And then
he hasn't paid my pension.
Oh, fuck
this guy. All of that. Fuck that cunt.
Then I got another job freelancing, selling beer to pubs. And I was like, I'm not happy. And my job was to drink all day, basically.
You just
go to pubs.
I know someone who was a Jameson rep and it was just, they were just drunk the entire time.
I was drunk by like 4:30 and then I was like seeing my friends. And if anything, I had quite a good deal in London, but it wasn't making me happy. So then I was like, right, I'm leaving. And I went to Berlin. And then I was in Berlin. And then I got a job in Berlin in a call center for a company called Hungry House, which was like a Just Eat.
Oh, okay.
Before Just Eat. Or like at the same time as Just Eat, but yeah.
Yes.
Hello, Hungry House. Kate speaking. How can I help? So then I did that. And I really liked that job because it was 20 hours a week and I earned £650 euros a month. And that was enough to live on in Berlin at that time.
Yeah.
And my rent was 300 and 350 a month was fine.
You were in Berlin.
I went to Berlin. I worked at the call center.
So wait, but run me quickly. How long were you in Berlin until you went to Argentina and or India and or Germany?
So then I was working in the call center. One time, actually, I got Lady Moan. Do you know Michelle Moan? This woman who like it did for like all the government contracts.
No.
Who's like a peer, Tory peer.
Oh, wait, the blonde lady.
Yeah.
Yes,
one time
I
she came onto
mean.
My online chat.
No.
And she kept being like, the name's Moan, Lady Moan. And I was like, if you think that I, being paid like 10 euros an hour, is going to refer to someone on a fucking chat
Lady
about a takeaway
Moan.
As Lady Moan, you've got another fucking thing coming, love.
Oh my God, on a help customer services like, for a takeaway.
Yeah.
Grow
and
up.
And then I can see her address and stuff. Like, she lived in Kensington. Like, I do think it was her. But I was like, you think I'm going to refer to you as Lady Moan, like, get a fucking life, bitch. I do not get paid enough.
Why are you trying to name drop to deliver room?
Why are you trying to name drop your fucking title?
I was going to say, are you going to get robbed? I can see your address.
Also, I have access to all your credit card information, you fucking idiot.
Fucking bananas. These people are so thick.
Yeah. But yeah, I did that job and then my aunt said to my mum, oh, do you think Kate's run away to Berlin to avoid getting a real job? And I was like,
how dare you, snake?
Yeah, stop snitching on me. And then I was like, no, maybe I'm going to do a master's. And then I found this master's and part of it was you got to do your first semester in Berlin, your second semester in Argentina, or South Africa and you're third in India or Thailand.
Wow.
And I applied for that, got that. And then a year after I had moved to Berlin, I went to Argentina to start my second semester.
Wow. And what was the master's in?
Global studies.
Hence the move. And all right, honestly, I was like, it's got to be something international relations or something. Yeah. Global studies and you studied across the globe.
Yes.
That's so amazing.
Makes perfect sense.
Yeah.
And then did you, when you came back from that, did you look to go work in global studies or were you back in London then?
No, then I came back to Berlin. Well, then I was sort of faffing around for a bit because my mum was like, don't worry, I'm going to sort of help you while you're doing your master's. Nice. And then you get like bits of funding from stuff like education vibes. And so that was fine. And then sort of didn't go. So when I started like going back to work, I was coming off a very bad breakup, which was also the time I started comedy. So I'd followed this German guy that I was dating in India. I went up to Nepal where he'd gone.
Okay.
So I came back to Europe and then I went to Nepal for him. And you must never go to Nepal for a German man. And it's not.
Write it down, kids.
As
my housemate would say, Emily Bampton, never get on a plane for dick.
Never get on a plane for dick. I actually do get on planes for dick, so I'm not against it.
You're not living by that rule, but
you can be wary
of. Full disclosure.
Yeah, yeah. Maybe like go to somewhere where you know other people that's not attached to the dick.
Yeah. Not Nepal,
where I didn't know anyone. But then I met my friend Maria. Like, I made friends from that time that, like, I'm friends with for life. So it's, like, great. But then I came back, and then I was very heartbroken. And then I wanted a job that was not customer service so I could just cry. And then I got a job in a cupcake bakery. Yes.
Oh, my God. Joy itself.
Yeah. So then I was... It was actually quite a shit job. They paid us 8 euros now. It was so bad. But... whatever. So you made cupcakes. I just made cupcakes. I would get in at 8 in the morning.
You're almost back where you started with the scars.
I know. I realise that now, saying out loud. Like, zero personal growth, no nothing in 14 years.
No, baking obviously brings you some sort of sense of relief.
It doesn't. I was so bad at cupcakes. I used to fuck up the recipe all the time. I used to have to throw so many out.
It was the same with the scones.
But I just liked a job where I didn't have to deal with customers and I didn't have to think. And I just was like, my job was to just do this thing.
Yeah.
And then I would just like sort of cry into the cupcakes and like you make
be
heartbroken.
This cupcake's extra salty.
Yeah. And then, this is actually salted caramel. And
that's how it started.
That's supposed to be. It is now.
That's how it started. That's how the salted caramel started. My tears. And then I dislocated my elbow and so I couldn't do my job anymore. And then they fired me, which is actually incredibly illegal in Germany. And I should have sued because I would have got so much money. But because Germany's got very good employment.
I was about to say.
And then after I healed, I did extra work. So I was in like the behind the scenes.
Ooh, any interesting?
They're all straight to TV German movies.
Wonderful.
Like I'd be like watching it being filmed by like, this movie looks lame. But you don't need to speak the language. And so it was just like me in the background, like waking the same patch of leaves ages. So I did that because they paid you 90 euros a day, which is a really good rate.
Yeah.
Or I felt like it was a good rate when I was poor in Berlin. And by that point, I'd started comedy.
Nice.
And then comedy started paying in Berlin quite quickly.
Nice. Mm. And then the rest is history. Amazing. Mm. Of all of those jobs.
Yeah.
What is one that you think you have like learnt the most from? Like a skill that has stuck with you or a lesson that has like stuck with you throughout all of them?
Ooh. Wow, I've learned nothing from any of my jobs. I think the trick to jobs is like, they've never been anything that I've been so invested in.
Yeah. Okay.
Fundamentally, like I've tried really, really hard at them because it was like my job to do it. But then it's like, I think it's good to not care too much about your job. Everyone has to sell their labor under capitalism.
Yeah.
And now I have a job that I do care about, comedy, and I find it very, very heartbreaking. Way more heartbreaking than anything else.
I always say it's a bad boyfriend.
It's like a bad boyfriend. Yeah. It's like, heartbreaking because it's like, oh, I really care about this thing. Whereas like, when I worked in the call center, I didn't care. Also, they don't record phone calls in Germany. So if people were, it's illegal to record phone calls in Germany. So if people were just assholes, I just hung up on them. If my manager wasn't like around, I just hung up and shut up. And there's no way they can like follow
That's
through and
a great
check.
Life lesson.
They can't call back and they're like, I'm going to find you. I'm like, with what evidence? Like, good luck, bitch. They're not going to be like, oh, the phone call ended after 3 minutes instead of 10. Like, there's no time it's supposed to go on. Like,
oh my God, that's great. So careless.
I would love a job that didn't mean anything again.
Yeah. Mm.
I really love those kinds of jobs, but I don't want to work all the time. And having those kinds of jobs in London, you have to work them full time.
Yeah.
I just want a part time job I don't care about.
Yeah.
More and I'll do it to the best of my ability.
Boxes.
making boxes.
Bring back box making, guys.
Like,
bring
I'll just do boxes. It. If it was enough for rent, I would do that.
And then just have a happy life.
And then just live my life.
Yeah,
100%. Joy and free out in the world.
And yet we've all decided to pursue something that we love, that pays terribly, breaks our heart on a regular basis.
And takes up so much time.
Everyone else in your life is like, you're pursuing your dream. And you're like, and it's killing me.
And it's killing me. Like, literally, like, I'm in a hospital with chest pains. Do you know what I mean?
No, but we're all doing really well.
We are. And you are smashing it, genuinely.
People say that. They're like, you're smashing it. And I'm like, yeah, but why isn't it money? Yeah. I know, I'm on the radio, like BBC radio. Mm.
It's very cool.
It's coming. It's coming. That windfall's coming down the line.
Ow, hurt myself. Wimple's coming.
But thank you so much, Kate, for being on our podcast.
Thank you for having
such a good candidate for the Odd Jobs podcast. Thank you so much for going on
so
spending
many
time
jobs.
With us.
So mad. And there's definitely stuff I've forgotten. I'm gonna like look at my CV when I get home and be like, damn,
nice.
Told you about that.
Ah, yeah. But listen, we can always do another one. Thank you so much for coming on. We appreciate it.
Thank you so much for having
Goodbye.
Me.
Thank you so much for listening to this week's episode. Again, if you enjoyed Kate, catch her at the London Hospital Tavern on the 11th of February. Or if you enjoyed myself, Ruby, and Kat, the other host who's not currently filming this video, you can see us at the Leicester Comedy Festival. Kat is on the 12th of February and I am on the 21st of February. So get tickets for that. We're both doing new shows again. Kat's is amazing. I love her very much. I've known all this material for a very long time and I know the story that she's telling and it's honestly brilliant. You're going to so enjoy it if you get along. And come along to mine because I'm having a wonderful time and I'm enjoying doing my show. God, we're giving you so much culture and so much content. How lovely. Also, if you enjoyed the podcast, feel free to rate or share it with a friend or follow us on the Instagram. I think that's everything. Otherwise, I'm going to leave you to have a lovely rest of your day. I love you very much. Bye.